Senate Transportation Committee meeting to order. We have four items on our agenda. We have Senate Bill 175, which is the DeArmond-Rabbit Creek Interchange. We have Senate Bill 180, which is a grant to the City of Valdez for harbor construction. Senate Bill 202, Eagle River Island Bridge construction. And Senate Bill, our House Committee substitute for House Bill 133, which is our ATC related legislation. And we'll go by its numbers, and we'll first of all take up Senate Bill 175, which is the DeArmond-Rabbit Creek Interchange. For the record, we have Senator Joseph, Senator Abood, and Senator Coghill, committee members. We have a quorum. We have as guest Senator DeVries, who is the sponsor of two of these particular pieces of legislation. Do we have any sign-ups for 175?
Just Senator DeVries and Barry Moorhead.
Okay. So what we'll do is our sign-ups are public testimony for Senate Bill 175 is Senator DeVries and as the sponsor, prime sponsor, and then we have Mr. Moorhead. So we'll go ahead, Edna.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate you hearing this bill. What we have done for our district is we had taken the top priority for our district that was in the DOT budget, and when we did that and we introduced the bill, we started getting information from that portion of the district that said that the people in that area were not in agreement with the alternate that DOT had proposed, and for two reasons. One reason is the DOT alternate is 18.5, their alternate is 13 million, and the DOT alternate would take 9 acres of private property, and their alternative would only take 5. Plus, it would create some very steep driveways on the one side of the road that would go down towards the inlet.
For the senators, on your packet, you'll see alternative A, and the map, aerial map, comes out of the book, is what the senator's talking about. And then if you flip to our alternative C, the last page in that one, and there's a cost factor behind each one of them, which will show you what the difference is. There's a schematic drawing, but there's an aerial map that gives the projection. So the issue here basically is this, as the senator states, is that it's in the budget. There's an alternative. One alternative has a large interchange at the Seward side, and the other one has a interchange at the DeArmond Road. I think that's basically the issue, isn't it?
One dead ends the old Seward Highway, and the other one does not, and I think that is the difference for most of the cost.
Do you want to use this?
Well,
the cost sheets are right behind you.
Okay.
Yes.
What would be the appropriation sum for us today?
13. Let's see. Do you have that?
There, I'm going to propose
amendment. Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a proposed amendment on your left side. Would be 13 million, and then the state's portion would be 650,000 instead of 925. And there is a proposed amendment that I submitted to the committee chair.
All Senator Booth.
Yeah, I'm just concerned about perhaps what we're really doing here. I guess it's all right. I don't know. I've got a problem up there in Anchorage, too, on Raspberry. The same conditions exist. DOT has come up with a plan that's taking one part, one side of the north side of the road, and those people don't want it. They put it on the south side, those people don't want it. But there is another plan, alternate two or three or whatever it turned out to be. But the DOT has gone right ahead with this and said this is the way it's going to be. Now, in this case, that's the same way, that the same thing we're coming to here. And I'm wondering, and I've got a little heartburn on it, is this our purview to, without the kind of backup that I don't think we have on this, I'd like to know what your community councils want. I want to know where all the conflicts are. It's a straightforward thing, but as I look at the overview and the over map on it, I see some other problems in there, too. I'd like to hear from the Department of Transportation why, and are we in the business of saying, taking a look at all the roads and saying, we like this one, we don't like that one. And I'm not sure that we ought to be in that position. I'm not sure that that's our job to say that. If it is, I don't know that yet. I don't think we know that yet. And I'd like to get that one established. If we're going to go to have the DOT submit these alternates A, B, C, and D, or 1, 2, 3, and 4, to us, for our perusal, so that we can make a decision, then so be it. But right now, I've never seen it done that way.
Well, Senator, in previous years, why there's been, they've asked the legislature for opinions on certain proposals in the planning stage. The book was put together.
The book is here.
And if you've got the different proposals, I would submit to you that I think that it is within the legislative bounds. Especially if you've got constituents, where this came about, and the change on this was constituents.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if that be the case, then,
just telling you.
If that be the case, then, when the Raspberry Road deal comes up in Anchorage,
you want to get in the middle.
Then I'm going to say, DOT, you're out of line, you're way off base, and I don't care what it costs, we're going to put it in the way that people want. If that's our purview. That's what we're supposed to do.
It is.
Now, this is saving money. But I'd like to hear from DOT as to why this plan, or their plan, is better than alternative A that the people want. And, of course, DOT doesn't have to live on that road either. People got to live there. And does it supply...
We have Barry Moorhead. This is on the federal side, Barry. I mean, you want to come up and... Yes.
Mr. Chairman, my name is John Simpson. I'm from headquarters. I can't offer anything on the specifics of the project, and I could tell you the procedures we go through to come up with the culprits.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm very well aware of the procedures that you come up with to do make your alternatives. I've seen it all happen by going through the community councils, going to the public. I don't fault that. I'm saying all of a sudden, after all of the study you've done on Raspberry Road, if I may depart from this one for a second, because it has a bearing on it, and all of the hearings you've had, and you come out. This is not a bad reflection on DOT. I mean, you just studied the thing and you said, this is the alternative. This is how the road's going to be built. Great big bed sheets showing us these things. Then the people come around and say, we don't like it. You gave the people the alternative. They say, we don't like that. Number three. We want number two. And it's going as number two.
John,
so
why don't you come up with this?
Let me
get you on record here, because...
Now, when this comes back, when this comes up to us, and they're sitting here, they're sitting here, we're going to get the same identical thing we're doing in here. Identical. We're going to say no. I'm going to say no. That's a lousy proposal that people want, too. So that's the way we're going to do it, based on the amount of money they're going to get to do it with.
And I think that, Senator, if you don't do that, that you're remiss in your duties to your constituents.
Just want to be sure that...
But I think that in the hearing process, maybe there ought to be some more... Yes, Senator?
Well, I think, Mr. Chairman, that there's a melding of things here. In this case, the Senator comes to us with a proposal that is less expensive. And it may be, you know, that testimony from the professionals would be, that's great and fine, you can live with it. It's workable. I would want to consider both the technical information and the
we do it this manner, then we're going to take the heat. And we're damned if we do and we're damned if we don't. And the DOT can say, oh, well, you know, that's fine. You guys did it. Now we're going to do it the way you guys want it.
You much what you...
And these guys are professionals. I'm not a professional.
What you'd much rather do is let them do it their way, and then you can always be on the side and saying, well, they did it wrong. If I'd had something to do with it...
That's not exactly what I said at all, and you know it. But I haven't heard from the community councils in your area. I haven't heard from the people in your area. This committee has heard.
There's some letters in.
You know. Does it represent all of them and so on?
I'll get some letters from the community councils.
John, why don't you come on up? We'll just state your name, get you on record, and we'll just talk about this briefly, because I guess there is a policy thing here that we should talk about.
My name's John Simpson. I work for the Department of Transportation. I'm the Director of Standards and Technical Services in the headquarters. And the headquarters and DOT doesn't get directly involved in the location or the specific designs on projects, but we do establish the standards and the procedures that the regions are required to follow through when they develop the project. Most of the procedures that we have, in effect, and particularly on a project like this, are based on parallel federal requirements. And the purpose of these procedures is to make sure that as many of the possible impacts or effects of the project in whole are considered before the department makes a recommendation as to which alternative should be chosen. For that reason, there's the public hearing process and the environmental document process and the listing of the alternates, so it could be presented to the public and to others that it would have a concern with the project and with its social, environmental, and economic impacts. The department, and I think there was a public hearing on this project too, was held in January '83. At that time, and all projects take time to develop, particularly the more complex they are. We try to base our decision based on all the facts and all the input on the project. I don't know what the specific issue is here, and I'm sorry I can't speak to it, but I can tell you that because of the extensive requirements that we have to go through to get a project developed, it may be that at a time a year or 18 months after the public hearing was developed, I'll grant you that there would be people that may have problems with the particular alternate the department recommended to the Federal Highway Administration. But it would be very difficult for us to take a pulse of the public on a reoccurring basis.
John, just briefly to explain, briefly what this does is on here, on the flip page, there's amendments underneath the memo, and that has to do with changing the bill from alternate A to alternate C.
From C to A.
That if we leave the bill the way it is, apparently that's the way the department is recommending it. If we put the amendments in, then that's the way the pressure of the constituents are doing it. And it's on your project now. I'll let Senator Booten and Senator. Well, you had your hand up first. I'm not giving any preference to the majority.
The state has chosen alternative C as its preferred alternative.
I presume that's correct based on...
That's my understanding. That's correct.
And has received an FHWA approval for it and is proceeding with that design. Okay.
Was there any... When did alternative A come up? And has that been approved by FHWA?
Alternative A, to my knowledge, was also presented at the public hearing that was held in January '83. There were at least four alternate routes or configurations at the interchanges presented. I know that from just experience. What we do is we try to look at the social, environmental, economic impacts on all alternates and address them as to input gathered at the public hearings and also from coordination with several other entities such as fire departments for fire access, fish and game for impacts on wildlife.
Was there objections to all that?
Pardon?
Was there objections to A at that time?
My understanding and recollection is that there were some objections at the public hearing to all alternatives. I mean, there was no unanimous consent. But one of the reasons I'm here, if I could just say one thing, what you're doing, you know, is fine, but there was a lot of study put into this project, and if it's your decision that you may not be aware of. I could be wrong, but that's the way I see it.
Well, I have some concern, John, also for the orderly process here. And I think what your position is that the public is notified, has a right to participate in the public hearing. Now, I think one of the senator's constituents said that the DOTPF ignores the public. Do you know whether there was overwhelming sentiment against C and for any of the hearing, or what the proportion was?
I honestly can't sit here and tell you that I know, but I am sure that I'm a registered engineer. It's all a matter of record, and I, just like the Central Region, could go back and make a quick review and give you that answer. But I just don't know standing here. I'm just concerned that we'd make this kind of change without the department.
One more question. The amendment would reduce the cost of the project on the face of it, but how much, do you know how much you've expended in design work so far that the assessment would be wasted? Or?
I'm not sure of the figures, but it's an urban project. It would be substantial. I think also right now we are in the right-of-way acquisition phase on that project, or about to shorten the data. So if you, without knowing the numbers, I'm sure there would be an impact. There would be a substantial part of the dollars lost if truly we went back to this other alternative, because I think it's going to take more study too. Once, if you go back to alternates A instead of C, you may experience the flip side of the coin. Those people who were in favor of A may come back at you for reversal. That's speculation. I'm just asking that the department should have a chance to look at it.
And I guess the ultimate question is that if we get to tinker with it in this manner, is it going to set it back a couple more years?
That's a possibility.
Senator?
At the risk of getting in trouble with my colleague, however, it's what her constituent has requested. I move, Mr. Chairman, that we hold this bill in committee until we get more information.
I'd like to hear from Barry for it.
Well,
I have a whole book here, so I can copy that.
Are there any other questions, John? If not, thank you very much. Barry, you want to say anything on it?
Not really, unless you had some questions.
Specific.
What impact it had on the lot?
Well, has this project gone forward to the point where the planning stage has gone to your shop now for funding?
It's to the point where we have authorized the right-of-way acquisition based upon alternate C.
Okay. That locks it then.
Well, then, may I?
Senator,
then there would be an impact on the federal funds if we go to alternative A at this stage of the game.
Well, it would just require the state to pay back the federal funds that's been spent on right-of-way that won't be utilized in the project.
Well, Barry, I don't understand what you mean. The state has the state paid any private operators, owners, yet using federal money?
I believe so.
So that money would not be easily payable back, easily paid back from the state to you unless they unwound those deals.
Senator, a question to DOT. Has there been any properties purchased by the state for this right of way along those roads? Any people were bought out of their homes and so on? That the state's paid for, the feds paid for?
That's my understanding.
How did this bill get this far without
this is the first committee.
Well, I don't mean you. The bill. I thought about the whole project get this far. All set and cut and dried before you even got to it.
As I understand it, when you have a project, John or Barry, is that you go ahead and you get pre-planning and acquisition money way ahead of the project money. Ahead of construction money. And it's assigned a project, and that's been underway. This study has apparently been underway for, initiated, and it's been, was it 3 or 4 years old?
Well, I think our approval was March 83.
But I mean, the money was probably appropriated in 1982 for the fiscal year 83 to make the studies.
I think it was, it was just 6-8 months ago. That's just a guess. When we went to the next, to the
right-of-way. No, let me rephrase. probably conceived back in, what, 81, 82?
At least that. It would be in that area, because it takes about that long to develop a project.
That's my point. That's my point. So you went through the hearing process on the local level, and those funds all come from what you call pre-planning projects, which the feds participate. And is that where you get your acquisition money from?
Well, it's a little bit more complicated than that. We use what we call preliminary engineering funds to develop the studies to get to the point of where we can say what alternate we recommend. Once we come up with a recommended alternate, we've satisfied all the requirements for public hearings, environmental documents, that type of thing. And we convince FHWA that they're satisfied, then we can go to FHWA and ask for right-of-way funds in that. And that's the funds that Barry's referring to that we probably requested somewhere in the neighborhood 6 months ago. So there's stages of funds. There's preliminary engineering or study money to study the alternates. There's right-of-way money to purchase the right-of-way, and then there will be construction money to actually build the project. I hope I didn't confuse you.
No, you didn't confuse me. I've been through this thing many times. But I mean, just so that... But I think I asked that question so that Senator, you're a dollar late or dollar short and about 2 years late in trying to make any change as far as the alternates are concerned. Otherwise, if we pass this bill with your amendments, we'll probably put a delay on that project by at least 2 years.
This plan was approved January 1st, 1984. So, the study of that. But I guess I know you got a number of other bills, but I guess I'd just sort of be like to know if the committee is, going to make a policy regarding the fact of where do the constituents go if they are in opposition to a plan that DOT says this is what you're going to get. And especially if we have to appropriate money, I don't feel that we're really truly representing our constituents then, because that's what we're going to have to do on this project. I'm going to have to vote in the budget for monies for this project that my constituents do not want. So I don't know what kind of policy that your
they don't want it in the configuration.
Yeah.
Well, you don't really know that, though, do you? Do you know it only by the fact?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I can tell you for sure on that Raspberry Road, your statement is absolutely correct. That the DOT is going to put that in there come hell or high water. Well, and the public doesn't want it.
So
what we need is a procedure sometime in the process of all of your planning stage when you get ready to put it. See, the first that we know about this is that it's in this year's budget. So there has to be some kind of a review, or there should be some kind of a review. Maybe it's in the process that as you're doing these that you copy the representatives and the senators in the district that you're working in, that these hearings are taking place, and then if they don't involve themselves in the public hearing, not a special hearing, but in the public hearing process. I don't know whether that's out of the federal context.
But maybe I should testify.
Okay. Come on, Barry.
Couldn't stay out of it, could you?
No, okay. I'm Barry Moorhead, and I work for the Federal Highway Administration, and my office is here in Juneau. And as far as the Yarmon Rabbit Creek and Raspberry Road, when the state has their design public hearings, the public is notified. Public attends, most of the ones that are really interested, and the state makes a recommendation based upon all of that information. They make a selection and send it to us for our review, and we either concur or we send it back to the state and say, here's some other things that have come up. These are something that you should consider. And to answer your question, what does the public do if the public doesn't agree with what DOT? I'm getting flooded with letters from people on Raspberry right now. We have not received that document yet, but they're saying that the state's made a decision and they don't agree with that. They're sending whatever information that they have to us. We'll make an independent decision. If the public disagrees with that, I'm sure that they would come to you or go to my boss.
Senator, but
But by that time, Barry, it's a little, the horse has just left the barn. And you're not going to get him back in again.
That's probably true.
Now, on the Raspberry Road, there must, I never have gone to a meeting there regarding that road. They didn't have at least 100 people there. 250.
And the interesting part about that project to me is the people whose property is not being taken that want the alternate change to the point where their property will be taken. In most cases, it's the other way around. But
must be paying. It must be paying a premium.
That's what I wonder.
No, it's a question there of changing the character of the road to more of a freeway than one alongside the freeway.
That could very well be it. Yes. I would say that in this particular issue here, if you had some more information that indicated that the alternate C was the wrong selection, that information should go back to the state. You should ask that the hearing be opened. We should have another public meeting and hear from everyone involved. And if they want to make a decision, they write a supplement to the environmental document to make a recommendation if that be changed.
Right. What's the time frame on something like that, Barry or John?
Well, as I recall, notice for public hearing is either 30 or 60 days. After the hearing, the docket has to stay open for approximately 30 more days for people to send in a written testimony. And then the state makes a recommendation, and then we go. So I'd say probably 3 months, 4 months.
So really, if the senator asked for a formal reopening through a resolution through the legislature or through a letter, or how would that process be that she could get a, because it really wouldn't substantially affect the construction schedule because you're just coming in for the appropriation.
Sure.
I don't know how much of your engineering you've got done. I'm just trying to accommodate a situation that we've got here.
I suppose the bill could be withdrawn and finance and investment fund construction, and then
no, it's in the budget now.
It's in the budget.
She's already got it in the budget, so the bill is really moot now.
I was just wanted to ask, do you know, did you get any letters? Because at the time when this was drafted and they came up with the recommendation, the assembly person that served that area in Anchorage was in opposition to that site, and I was wondering, can you remember if you have gotten
I don't remember if we did. But there was a number of letters, both, well, generally against various alternates in the document itself.
Yeah, there is a number of letters and lots of testimony and stuff like that in there. But with four alternates, there isn't really, from this document, there isn't, you know, 50 people said yes and 50 people said no. We have really sort of a hodgepodge, and it's hard to see from looking at this document how DOT really, they cannot, from the testimony that's in here, say that the testimony in the public hearing was in favor of alternate C, because that's not the truth in the documents that I have here for me. And that's, I feel, the decision that they made.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure that there's other things, because as I recall, the alternate A is a partial interchange, and alternate C is a full interchange. So
right.
I'm sure there are a lot of
highway
different
closes
things.
Off, and yeah, there's a number of issues there if they base it on public testimony, the public testimony in there does not come out in support of all.
There isn't too many road projects that are decided on a public vote, though, because really you should be looking at what the people in sewer are interested in.
Yeah. What the total traffic picture. What do you, Senator, what do you want to do?
That's fine. We can go ahead and hold it now. Go ahead and work directly with his office.
Well, what you need to do is contact
DOT
and indicate that you've got some more.
Tell them that we want them to put it on hold. So
there's no objection, then we'll take Senate Bill 175. We'll hold it until the sponsor tells us. Thank you, Barry. Let's go to Senate Bill 180. Signed up for Senate Bill 180 is Senator DeRees. It's your bill. This is the city of Valdez. And then we have Lynn Crystal, Gary Okay. Let's go, Senator. In your folders, you have the funding request. You have the total capital project request for the city of Valdez, which is $35 million, which they're not going to get.
You just burst their balloon, sir.
Okay, go ahead. Senator.
Thank you again for hearing it. This is the number one priority for the city of Valdez, and they also have the backing of the Chamber of Commerce, and we have a council person here from the city of Valdez as well as the harbor manager, and they can speak to specifics regarding the bill. It's one of those appropriation bills that will surely help the economic development in the city of Valdez, and if you have specific questions, again, they were in my office this afternoon, and we have discussed the lack of funds, and they're certainly aware of that, but they didn't want to have the bill in the hopper to find some money.
Glenn, Jerry, why don't you both come up at the same time and state your name? We'll chat with you a little bit. We don't hold these things as sterile formal as some committees do.
Councilman, Mr. Chairman, Councilman Crystal is the mouthpiece for the city, but if you have any questions, I'd be happy.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Senators. We do appreciate the chance to get a few words in. And I don't know where you come up with the $35 million, but if you want to insert that, we'd certainly be very happy.
No, it's the capital projects for grants from the city.
Oh, I see.
The total.
You're not
about,
talking about 180.
You know, that's got everything here, subdivisions and all around.
That's our wish list.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I try to be very brief. Basically, what this is a continuation of our efforts to try to diversify our local economy. We're even more dependent on the oil industry than the state as a whole. And I think we've been fairly successful in the past few years. And this particular project of $4.5 million will pretty well bring us up to date for the next 10 years. We had a very extensive study done by Petrovich, Nottingham, and Drage, and it was completed last fall. And basically what we're trying to do is develop the existing boat harbor as we have it today to accommodate both pleasure boats and the commercial fishing industry. And as mentioned, this is our number one priority. And we presently have one fish plant that's in operation in the small boat harbor, one that's over by the old city dock, and a new one by Mr. Jim Poor, who you probably remember from Cordova, who is moving his operation to Valdez. And he's got his plant about 80-90% complete at the present time. He should be online this summer. And we have, in the past, to give you a little background, we were one of the first parties that put in the seed money on the Prince William Sound aquaculture and the Port Nellie Juan hatchery in southwest Prince William Sound. And we also provided the money to start up the Crooked Creek and Solomon Gulch hatcheries in Valdez. And this summer, we're anticipating approximately 800,000 fish returning to right in the port of area. And so as you can see, this will produce quite a bit of revenue, not only for the city and jobs, but also the state as a whole. And hopefully next summer, in the neighborhood of 2 million fish should return. And this basically is our project. You can see the background on it in front of you. And hopefully, we can get as much done as possible in the next year or two, and this should hold us for approximately 10 years according to our study and provide access for everybody that wants to use our port. So if you've got any questions, we don't want to drag you into this too long here today, but we'd be happy to either myself or Jerry can hopefully answer whatever questions you might have.
Senator?
Mr. Chairman, I understand that increase in employment in Valdez, and you want to diversify the economy, small boat harbor, and encouraging fisheries.
That's about it, yes, sir, Senator. And I think we've been partially successful. As an example, several years ago, we had no fish processing at all, zero, no jobs in the fishing industry. Right now, we've got, at least during the summer months, probably in the neighborhood of 200 to 300, and hopefully this summer we'll add another 100 to that. So we've been partially successful, and I think we're on the right path. And with some help, I think we can continue to improve that.
You expect to get a bigger fishing fleet?
Yes, sir. That's hopefully.
That come from Cordova?
We don't think so. We think a lot of them are additional fish that really weren't there before. In other words, we've got the Nellie Juan hatchery. We've got the local hatchery in town. So we've got additional fish that weren't there before. So hopefully we're not going to be trying to take business away from somebody else. And, of course, as you're probably aware, the local fishermen in Prince William Sound have just voted themselves a mandatory tax to help build the Perry Island fish hatchery, which in the coming years will produce many, many fish. I forget, they're talking about 20 million fish in a matter of the next 10 years.
So you need to develop this small boat harbor to stay ahead of the curve.
That, That's right, Senator. In fact, we don't have enough room now. We're over jammed. Boats are docked 5 and 6 abreast at the present time.
Senator Booth, do you have any questions?
No.
Do you want to move the bill?
Yes, Chairman, I move that. Move the bill to the next committee. Yeah. Committee refer with individual regulations.
Is there any objection? No objection. So ordered. So Senate Bill 180 will go to finance.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Good.
Next bill. Senate Bill 202. Senate Bill 202. Mark Johnson from Senator Kelly's office. You want to come forward, Mark? And Senate Bill 202 is before us, and Senate Bill 202 is a making an appropriation for to the public facilities for construction of the Eagle River Highland Bridge. And Mark, you want to go ahead and give us the story on it?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Construction of the Eagle River Highland Bridge is has already been identified by the DOT and the municipality as a very important response to solving the current access problems that exist particularly on the southbound but highway from Eagle River. As you may know, Eagle River is, if you choose to divide it up this way, is the fourth largest community in the state and is one of the fastest growing communities in the state. We're going to base the decision on a number of individuals served by a project. This is probably one of an excellent one. And authorization of the project will be necessary and timely. As you may be aware, there's currently during rush hour large backups of traffic that occur on the existing interchange. I understand the municipality is proposing some changes to that to increase the amount of traffic that the current interchange can handle, but in the long run, I think in the long run, it's essential that the bridge be constructed to solve the Eagle River access problem. I should note a few things about the proposal that you have before you. It was considered by the House Transportation Committee during the 13th legislature, planning and design funds in the amount of several hundred thousand dollars were included in the FY85 capital budget. The project is currently being studied in terms of planning and design by DOT. And in addition to that, the bridge was recently approved by the local Anchorage Area Transportation Planning Group, AMATS, for the receipt of federal funds. That is a very important part of the overall plan for construction of the bridge. In your file, a map that depicts the proposed alignment of the bridge, the location of the bridge, and where it would tie into Eagle River.
Mark, you want a copy of this to speak from? Or
no, I'm fine, Mr. Chairman. Finally, just two items. I think that should this bill make it to the Finance Committee, there'll probably be a need to fine-tune the total amount requested on the bill to combine efforts of DOT and the Finance Committee. That's varying a little bit as they put together their plan for a right-of-way acquisition and the exact design involved. Finally, I think both Senator Kelly and Senator Halford recognize that state revenues being what they are, that the revenues or funds that are available for this project are as difficult as anything else. It's a little bit more essential that this be brought before the legislature for some consideration as it is eligible for the federal matching funds. And I don't think there's any quarrel in the long run that the project very definitely will have to be built. So,
Mark, this is a good way for a good first step to get it on the system.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions, Senator?
Well, I think there is a representative from the municipality here.
Yeah, I'm sure they could.
I was just interested in the file we have. Mr. Dennerline is quoted as saying, let's get the construction money in the second session rather than the first session.
I don't think there's any quarrel. As to the needs of the bridge. There may be some disagreement between the sponsor and the municipality on the exact timing of that. Obviously, co-sponsor of the bill. The issue of securing the funds for construction seems possible. I think that's reasonable.
Yes.
Yes. Why don't you come forward then? Thanks, Mark. Is there any questions, Senator Booth?
Mark? Yeah.
Come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, my name is Bill Miles. I represent the municipality of Anchorage. In response to Senator Josephson's comment, I did speak with Mr. Dunline this morning, and he recognized that there was some confusion. I think the important points to remember is that are that the project, because of points that Mark has made, it's imperative that it just keep moving forward under any scenario. I think we're all realistic enough to know that the $23 million figure this session is going to be very hard to is going to be very hard to come by. But we need $500,000 or so to keep the project going. It's been developing as a federal project, and we anticipate that it will continue to fit that. I really don't have too much else to say. But we certainly would like to keep the project moving at all costs, because it's going to be it's a vital project to Anchorage.
It's obvious then, Bill, that what we should have had was a resolution asking that it be put on the system some way or other. Maybe this is a backdoor way of getting it on the system. You get a message to the DOT that they want, that the legislature wants the bridge. But I think that the proper way would have been for a resolution asking DOT to do the planning study for it.
Well, I think you'd have to discuss that, Senator, with the sponsor.
I understand that. Senator Booth.
Is any money put in this in 84?
Is it?
Say again.
Any money put into this project in 84?
There were some design funds.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know the exact amounts. I can get the exact amounts where there was an appropriation in the FY.
500,000?
Something in that range, yes.
I know it in here that was designed in 82. It went from 12.995 in 83 to 15, which is a $3 million increase. And then in 80, what we're looking for now is 23, which is a $7 million. That's about almost 2.5 times more in a year. Does that make sense?
In the road projects, generally speaking, no, Senator, it doesn't make sense.
But in bridge projects, it does.
In road projects, the more they get into road projects, unlike building state buildings or schools, the more they get into the road projects, the more problems seem to come up. Projects,
the projects just go nuts financially.
Yeah, I don't want to have a question. The municipality is working with DOTCOT to make sure that the bridge qualifies for federal funds. That's what this letter is all about. If this happens, the cost of general funds will be far less than requested. Why would that be?
Oh,
it's a dinner line, if I may. It said that a representative of this family people came, but that's what his statement is. If this happens, the cost of general fund will be far less. About how much less and why?
If it just qualifies for federal funds, that means you don't have to pay for it. They have to pay for it. I don't think it means that the project, Mark, maybe you can steer me if I'm getting off the wrong track. The project won't necessarily change. It's just the source of funds.
So might that cost us $23 million?
Might not cost the state $23 million.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Cost
us 94% of that will come from the federal government.
Oh, I see. I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions of Bill or
thank you, Bill.
Yeah, Mr.
Chairman.
Senator Booth.
Mr. Chairman, I move the bill out of committee, next committee to refer with individual recommendations.
Any objection? No objection. So ordered. Senate Bill 202 goes to finance. Now we're down to the Senate. Now we go down to Senate, or committee substitute for House Bill 133, which is an old friend. It's coming across with the committee substitute for House Bill 133, and in your packet on the top is an amended showing. This is the Finance Committee's.
Right, this is their version.
This is their version.
Our proposal.
If you go onto the bottom side of the flip page, where you'll see
Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 133, Transportation Committee, which is a liftoff of our 103 with the two objections from the Finance Committee incorporated into it. So we have several people that would like to speak on Senate Bill or Committee substitute for House Bill 133, but I want you to know, Reed, that we were thinking about lifting and inserting, so if you want to come forward.
You might have two stoops at the same time.
That's right. Go ahead, fine.
There are too many in one small room.
We have three at this table.
Sure. In fact, we can have Dawn up too.
I'm Lee Stoops.
Yes,
Mr. Chairman. And we represent, Reed and I both represent the Alaska Air Carriers Association. Just a few general comments regarding the voyage of this legislation through the, on the House side that you may have some interest in. Legislation very similar to that to the Senate bill that you passed was passed by the House Transportation Committee, in which both the air carriers and the truckers were involved. It covered both insurance areas and truck inspection. That bill was in the House Finance Committee, a subcommittee was assigned to study the bill. There seemed to be particularly problems with inspection program for trucks. They seemed to be bogged down in that particular issue. They didn't know quite how to address that. They also seemed to be more concerned with the driver certification than with truck inspections as a means of increasing highway safety for heavy vehicles, commercial vehicles. So Senator Halford attended many of those subcommittee meetings on the House side, and partially at his suggestion and partially at our recommendation, the House Finance Committee decided to deal only with the air carriers in this particular bill to separate truckers from the air carriers. We supported that idea because it has been our experience through various meetings so far that trucking inspections seem to be the focal point of the legislation. We were interested in seeing the insurance provisions be moved from public safety over to commerce, where we feel that they appropriately belong. Therefore, the House supported that concept. Also, the suggestion that came from Senator Halford was that perhaps the Senate version could be used for the truckers, and that this House legislation could serve as a vehicle for the air carriers. So they presumed on that potential. And the insurance rates, you'll notice here, are different. There's been a lot of discussion about that over the last few weeks. We began, I think you began here with $100,000 in your initial discussions on the bill. That was the old ATC regulation. At that time, we informed you that the Alaska Air Carriers Board of Directors had unanimously passed a resolution in support of a $300,000 limit, which they did a couple months ago. The basis for that request for $300,000 was twofold. One, it made all air carriers consistent with the federal CAD regulation, or now federal DOT, of $300,000. They saw no reason to have differential between the coverage of people flying. That was the one reason. The second reason that they supported $300,000 was because insurance people in attendance at their convention passed on to them that the average death settlement for air-related accidents seemed to be falling between $350,000 and $500,000. Therefore, they thought it was, for public protection, the $300,000 figure was better than $100,000. So in your initial version, $300,000 was passed, the same in the House. They passed the $300,000 figure. However, in the House, during the interim, between that time and between the time the House Finance Committee took up basically the same legislation that you had passed out, there were complaints both from members of the air carriers and from other very small operators within the state. And we're talking here largely about one and two aircraft type operators, very small. But they pointed out that their insurance rates would be influenced by going from $100,000 to a $300,000 minimum. Their rates could increase as much as 84%. That was the highest we heard. So rather than put what the House Finance Committee thought was undue economic pressure on those very small operators, they left it at 100. They changed it back to 100,000. On the House floor, there was further discussion about that, and there was an amendment made, a request made to increase it to 300,000. That failed, but under reconsideration, another amendment was put forward to increase it to 200,000, and that passed by a fairly close, 21-17, I believe. That passed on the House side. So really, that's where we are today. You've got a bill that that has just the air carrier's address. The association supports that legislation because we feel there are substantial differences between the truckers, and particularly inspections, and what's being done here. If you chose to put truckers insurance and air carriers insurance together, we'd have no problem there either. But we think to merge that legislation with the legislation that goes into a whole new area, and that's the inspections, we think is problematic to the passage of the bill. Reed, do you have anything to add?
Yes. The only thing I'd like to add are just a few of the differences between the House passed bill and the committee passed bill, some of which are fairly easy to explain, some of which I can't explain because I'm not sure why they did it. First of all, there was a difference in the filing fee. I think this committee had a $50 fee. The House version, they didn't state how much the fee was, but they intended that the fee be set at whatever it takes to cover the cost of administration of the bill. They deleted the requirement that we endorsed, which was a requirement that the certificate of compliance be displayed in the aircraft. That wasn't even discussed in committee, so I have no idea. We didn't even know it had been deleted. The same with the provision, which was a good provision, which allowed a phase-in, which allowed the carriers to not have to come in for the new certificate until their insurance premiums came due. You had that in your version, and that wasn't discussed in House Finance. It may have been an error, but we're not aware of the reason why that was changed. They did intentionally delete the requirement that an interstate carrier be required to obtain the certificate, because they felt that since the Alaska Airlines and Western Airlines were forced to have the federal insurance anyway, and that there was no knowledge of any violations of that, they deleted that requirement, although they maintained it for all the intrastate carriers. And I think they made a revision of the penalty provisions, but again, that's something I don't even think that they took any testimony on. It was seemed to be somewhat arbitrary, at least as far as we were concerned. So we don't have any problem with and would advocate that correct some of the things unless there was a good reason for doing it, which we're just not aware of. So there are some minor differences which
so it could be cleaned up. It's the carrier, it's the association position that we try to maintain a position where that we do the motor carrier separate from the air carrier as far as the ATC demise is concerned. Is that correct?
Yeah, mainly because
you wouldn't have any heartburn if it was put back together then sent over there. So I'm afraid we're not going to get it, gentlemen, if we don't at this hour. The chairman's concern is this hour of the legislature to start a new bill going through is that we're going to leave ourselves wide open to let the administration promulgate rules and regulations, and it just gives me nightmares to figure that if we don't have something tied down statute,
I guess
this thing is going to come wide open on us, and the bureaucracy is going to write about 40 sheets of regulations on it. We're going to be back worse than we were when we had the repealer.
I guess what we're recommending is that you use 133 for the air carriers, and if, I guess if you desire for truck insurance, which doesn't seem to be very controversial, and use Senate Bill 103 as a vehicle for truck inspections. As suggested by Senator Allen.
I've got in the packet for the committees for your look see at, and that's the two. If you want to study it, I'd go ahead.
But if I understand, that puts the Senate as a manager, this committee as a council. Why don't we put in what we want, and then we'll go to a conference, and we've got a 50-50 shot at it,
rather
than yield to the House and then have to start all over.
That's my opinion.
There's nothing there for them to, we have no leverage.
And right now, this bill, what referrals does it have, John?
Just finance.
Just finance from here, that if we put them together, and if you want to, Wednesday we've got the overview with the head of the railroad for a 3-year proposal. And maybe if we took this bill and had give you time to go ahead and read over this stuff, the recommendation of the staff and the chair is to stick these together and go back and hit them head on with a conference committee, rather than take a chance that we pass their bill on air and nothing happens on truck.
Senator Blue Chair, right?
Go ahead.
I support the chair.
Okay. Then if there's, thank you, gentlemen. TJ, you want to say anything or anybody else? Is there any, We've got Don just here for questions. All right, come back on Wednesday then. Yes, Senator.
We do have here also a letter from Mr. Dresden of the Alaska Business Insurance.
Yes.
One of his statements, he feels that it's safe to say that doubling of premiums can be expected. Is that based on our committee that substitute around 133?
On the $300,000.
On the $300,000.
In the packet we got from Alaska Business Insurance.
Yeah, but what
and
about
he's saying we don't need the air carrier part of it at all. Yes, you may be excused.
And how about... No.
Anything else come before this August body? If not, we're adjourned.